Let's get back to the business at hand. We are joined right now by a former NHL center. He did play 11 years in the league. He won a Stanley Cup with the Devils in 2003. He is an analyst for NHL Network. He is also co-host of That's Hockey Podcast. You can watch Mike Rupp on NHL Tonight. It's coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern, leading up to Game 2 between the Knights and the Panthers, and immediately following the game. Game 2 is this evening in Vegas. We are joined once again by Mike Rupp. Rupper, good to have you back. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, dude. Good. Really good to have you back, Mike. Thanks so much. Before we get into Game 2, maybe you could take one quick look back at Game 1. The Golden Knights once again come from behind. They beat the Panthers on Saturday. Hate to read too much into one game, but did that one game tell you more about Vegas or about Florida?
I think it told me a little bit more about Vegas. Vegas is a team that they're not going to get frustrated. They're not going to stretch themselves in games. They're just going to do what they do. And I think up to this point, the Florida Panthers have really done a good job of frustrating teams. And then those teams kind of get outside themselves and try to force plays. And I know it's only been one game, but the Golden Knights came out in game one. They were just very focused. I mean, Florida wants to stir it up. They want to stir it up during play, after play. They want to get in your face. They want to frustrate you. They got to be better disciplined, though. I thought that Florida, I was really impressed with their energy level since they had the 9 days off. Like, it's not easy to do that, right? Just all of a sudden get dropped in the Stanley Cup Finals and then be kind of flying. And they were flying, but they were kind of not – they're working hard but weren't working smart. They're running around trying to get hits, and you can't search for them. They've got to – if they're there, you take them. So I think Florida will clean that up, but I don't think they're going to frustrate this Golden Knights team. So it's going to be interesting how it goes from here. I think Florida's still got to keep it chippy, but they just got to be more disciplined.
I like that. Mike Rupp joining us. I was going to say it got chippy. It got really chippy. Matthew Tkachuk picked up that game misconduct for punching Nicholas Hague. As brilliant as he's been, can that guy afford to lose his cool in that situation?
You know what? Here's the thing, Jim, though. It's like, that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to clip the wings. How do you do that? Like, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, at that point in that game was done. So I'm okay with that. But this is a guy that's gotten over 100 points in two consecutive years. I think he's played himself probably to be a top five forward in the National Hockey League. In five-on-five and even strength situations, he might be the most effective guy in the National Hockey League, and that's including Connor McDavid. So it's incredible what he's done, but I think that's hard. I mean, how do you have that conversation? Hey, Matthew, we need you to play this way. Well, that's not what he is. Like, he needs that hatred. He needs to feel the other team disliking him. So I don't expect him to change one darn thing. I just think he'll be a little smarter, and I would expect him to have a really big game because he was just okay in game one. He's a magnificent player. He'll be great in game two.
You know, laying it out like that, Mike, I cannot refute that. I do not disagree with what you just said. I mean, that's who that guy is. That's what got him there, and that's who they need. Mike Rupp is joining us. Mike, what about Adin Hill? Like, again, he was sharp between the pipes for Vegas. Can you tell me, like, I mean, I want to say, tell me how this dude was a fourth stringer. Like, I know it's true, but can you tell me, given how he's played, how that was even possible? Or is that only in theory? Like, was that guy actually a fourth stringer? Because I know he was.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a ton of credit. He's been great. And you know what he's been? He's been a calming influence. And there's times where we've seen in the past, and I've played for goalies that are unbelievable goaltenders. And I think as fans and consumers of the game, we love seeing the desperation saves, the diving across glove saves, the post-to-post, you know, kicks and all these things. But in reality, that generally means you're kind of out of position, right? And Adin Hill had that unbelievable save with his paddle of his stick in game one. But to be frank, he really played himself out of position on that play. But it was an awesome play that he comes back on. And he usually doesn't have moments like that. And I think those are things that it definitely gets you out of your seat. You get excited. It's on every highlight. But the thing that his secret sauce has been is that pucks hit him. He absorbs them. He stops the ones he should. He challenges. He's a big body. He's like, what is he, 6'4"? In this Vegas team, you know, he's fourth string goaltender this year, and every goalie they put in has had success because they're predictable in what they're very predictable for their goaltender. They know where the shots are coming from, the goalies. They know and they have trust that the rebounds, the guys are going to be taken care of around the cage. And I think that's just the perfect recipe. He's been quite the story. I was actually nervous in the first period, though, because when all that fracas was going on. I mean, he got out and he was giving some shots and getting involved. And I'm like, oh, man, you don't want to see your goalie. Like, you're supposed to be locked in and focused. He's out there throwing punches. But after that first period, he settled in. And I think we're going to see a more subdued player, just very smart and very meticulous in net.
I think, Mike, you just made two really interesting points. I was going to ask you about that save, and I'll go back to that maybe in a second. But when you see your goaltender, you're right. Like, the last thing you want to see is a guy like that get hooked when you need him getting locked in. Is there any part of you, though, as a teammate that lights that fire, that likes that, hey, man, he is one of us?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love it. It's just probably not the right thing. I don't think coaches love it. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. I want a goaltender that is in the battle with us, right, and going to step out and do those things. And we all know watching hockey, even the people that are very casual hockey fans, you don't touch our goalie. And I like when goalies kind of come back and say, hey, you don't touch any of our guys. And so I do like it. It's good on a couple one-offs here and there, but for the most part, I mean, these goaltenders, it's such a strenuous position as far as just staying focused. I love seeing it. I don't think coaches like seeing it.
I get that. Mike Rupp joining us. So about that stick save that he made on Nick Cousins point blank in the second period. Like, I want to say to you, man, when was the last time you saw a save like that in that situation, and how big a moment was that? Or would you say to me, yeah, well, actually, he was a little out of position, and that's why he had to make such a, quote, spectacular save?
No, I mean, listen, I sound like a dink sitting here saying he was out of position. It was incredible, right? Like, let's just say what it is. It was incredible. Yes, he did play himself out of position. He was swimming in his crease a little bit in that first period, and that's where I thought, oh, man, maybe Florida's got, you know, the inexperience is maybe setting in. But he was fine after, you know, later on, and makes that massive save. The last save, honestly, I've seen like that, it's crazy because it's back here at T-Mobile Arena in the Stanley Cup Finals, year one of Vegas against the Washington Capitals. And that was an incredible play with Braden Holtby robbing Alex Tuck in the same way here. And the Vegas Golden Knights players talking about it, and that was a huge save that, you know, kind of pressed on the Washington Capitals to win four straight and win their first Stanley Cup there. And, that was probably the last time. So it's been 6 years, and you go beyond that, you might have to rewind another 10. So these saves don't come around often. So let's enjoy it. But I think if Aiden Hill's watching that video, he's like, yeah, I kind of made myself have to make that save.
Maybe so, but Rupper, nobody anywhere is ever going to refer to you as a dink, either to your face or otherwise. I don't think you need to worry about that at all. Mike Rupp joining us. All right, so what, in your opinion, how important was it for Golden Knights defenseman Shea Theodore to get that first goal of the entire postseason? I'm not saying that he hasn't played well. I'm not saying he hasn't had chances. I'm not even saying that that's necessarily what they need him to do. But how important was that first goal, and do you think that might get him going?
Gigantic. So here's the thing, and I can say this for every player that's strapped on skates and plays in the National Hockey League. You'll go through stretches, and even the best players. I mean, the best players, if Ovechkin goes six games without a goal, that's strange. If Mike Rupp goes six games without a goal, it's like, oh, I didn't even notice. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of how it is. But this, you everybody has their stretches, and Shea Theodore is an offensive. He's their most gifted offensive defenseman. And they've got a really good decor in Vegas. And so here's the thing. I can go, and I did it as a player, and you see some great players do it. I can go 15 games without a goal. And, yes, you question yourself. You carry that with you. You maybe start pressing. But you get that one. You get that one. I'm high-stepping it coming to the rink the next day for practice. I'm feeling like I could take on the world, and I'm expecting to get the next one. Like, it's so funny how it just erases everything. And so having Shea Theodore get that goal in that big moment, I think is huge because, again, he is the most talented defenseman left and in the playoffs here. And so if he can find that groove, get that confidence back that maybe was lacking, this can push this team over the top.
So, Mike, is there a sense like when you, if you're a guy like that or anybody, to your point, if you go six games, 15 games, you know, there's that great phrase that applies to baseball, but probably other sports too, this notion of try easier. It's so hard to do, and it's so counterintuitive. Does it apply to hockey as well? If you've gone goalless for six, seven, nine games, do you try to get yourself to try easier, and does that work?
Yeah, you can't be too finite. Like, you're not going to sit here and try to pick corners. You're not going to try to go bar down. You're just going to get shots in that. I mean, how many times in the playoffs, if I had to just make up a number, I'd say 80%, 85% of goals in the playoffs are getting deflected off something, whether it's a deflection intentionally or off a defenseman skate, knee, pants, you know, anything. Like, you just got to get shots funneling towards the net. So I think that's the first thing when you're not getting a goal. But, you know, I also think that we always measure it in hockey where if you're getting chances, you're okay. And it's when you don't get chances that there's a problem. So I can go 10 games without a goal, and if I, the last few games, have had like 3 good looks each game, I know it's coming because I'm putting myself in a position to get good looks. And so I think that's the main thing. And that probably comes before even getting that goal is, all right, what can I do in my game to put myself in a position to get better looks, to jump in at the right time, to anticipate a play a little bit more? So, I mean, this guy's been involved in it. He's been around it. He finally got that goal. And I think it could really kind of set things off for him.
Mike Rupp joining us. All right, so one last thought. What are you expecting from the Panthers this evening, and what do you think that matchup is going to come down to tonight?
So I'll say Vegas made a big statement in the third period, and they ran away with it in game one. And they controlled a lot of aspects of the game. That's what they do. And Florida, up to this point, to the Stanley Cup Finals, is not a team for 60 minutes that's going to control play. They're just a team that plays with big kahunas, and they step up, and they get that goal when they need it. They get the save when they need it. They've got gumption. With all that being said, it was 2-2 going in the third period. So as much as I thought that Vegas was the better team, they still gave themselves, Florida Panthers, a chance to win, being tied going in the last period. So this is the thing with them. I think they'll be smarter. They're going to still come out, and they're going to be flying. They're going to be in their face. I'm looking for their stars. Their stars have to be big. And that's the thing. We go back to Aiden Hill, the goaltender for Vegas, fourth-string guy. They haven't asked him to be great in these playoffs. He just has to be good. And he actually has been great at times. But Sergei Bobrovsky, on the other hand, they've gotten here because he's been out of this world. He has been the MVP of the playoffs. And I hate to say it, but the only way the Florida Panthers win is if their stars. Sergei Bobrovsky is great. Matthew Tkachuk, great. Sasha Barkov, their best big centerman, he's got to be great. The stars got to step up in game two for the Panthers.
Do you think they will?
They will. Yeah, absolutely they will. They will. Yeah, I'll say this. They will have a very good effort. I could see this game going overtime. I still kind of am leaning towards, I think Vegas may send this back to South Florida up 2-0, but the Florida Panthers are far from dead. And they're going to go 6 or 7 in this series, and they could win it because that's just what they do. And the crazy part about it, too, is if they end up pulling this off, this miracle run, they will be in the playoffs beating the number one seed in the league, number two seed in the league, number 4 and 5 seed in the league. Like, I've never seen that. I don't know if I've seen that in any sport, right? Like, they've gone through the best. This might be the hardest road I've ever seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Florida Panthers, I think they got the guts to do it.
Hey, Mike, you've been so amazing with your time. Maybe just one quick thought, because you play the game, you have a Stanley Cup, you can understand this. I always say this, the Stanley Cup to me is the hardest championship to win in all of sports. It always pisses people off, but I don't think there's anything like it. To see teams play every other night for several weeks and to grind through it, where every single game, every period, every shift, everything matters. What's it like once it gets to overtime and then a second overtime? What are those nights like to be a part of, to play in?
They're the best. They're the absolute best. And, I mean, even when you lose them, they sting and you remember them forever. But you remember the situations, too. I've been in a locker room with a triple overtime game against the Washington Capitals. I was with the New York Rangers. Ryan McDonough was on our team. And in the 3 overtime game, he played, I think, 58-plus minutes. So he almost played a full game, right, a 60-minute game. And I remember distinctively coming in the locker room after, I think, the 2nd overtime. He's cramping. He just collapses in the middle of the locker room. Not to be too graphic, he's throwing up on the bench. He's emotionally, like, he's, like, crying. But he's not crying like he's in pain. He's just, like, everything's coming out. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen that. And I'm like, is this guy okay? Is he going to die? Like, what's happening right now? And, you know, the trainers go to him. They stretch him. They give him his fluids, whatever. Goes out there, finishes the game, our best player, and those are things that stick with you. Like, you're experiencing something that's not normal when you go into those long overtimes, and those things stick with you forever.
Got to think it's just out of body completely. Mike Rupp, co-host of That's Hockey Podcast, of course, an analyst for NHL Network. I want to remind you can watch Mike on NHL Tonight coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern, leading up to Game 2 between the Knights and Panthers, and then immediately following the game as well. Mike, I know it's a really busy day for you, so I appreciate it even more. Great to have you on the show, as always, and thanks so much for great stuff.
Hey, anytime. Looking forward to the next.
You got it, Rupper. Nice job. Great job. Mike Rupp joining us. That's always so fun. He is so good. So, so good. All right, so there is a preview right there. Game 2. Who do you like?